Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha, it's a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is certainly red hot for the Messiah. Her name is Mary Jo Pennington, and she is the grandmother of a little girl, 4.5 years of age, Victoria. Victoria is now 7, but when Victoria was 4.5 years of age, she should have died. There was an accident at a swimming pool, and she literally fell 9 feet onto cement, should have died, but angels caught her. Big, as she puts it, 6 big, big, big angels. And since that time, she's being caught up into many visitations into heaven, seeing things in the spirit realm. There's so many experiences in this brand new book, but I'll tell you one that fascinated me. And Mary Jo's family calls her Ma Jo, so I'll call her Ma Jo. Ma Jo, when she was caught up into heaven and she saw things around the throne of God, her descriptions, and mind you, there's a 4.5-year-old girl, her descriptions read just like the Bible. Tell me some of the things she saw that come directly from the Bible that there's no way she could have known.
Well, when she first went in the throne room, she said there were some things in there that scared her that had lots of eyes. And she said they had lots of wings and they made lots of noise. She said they had lots of faces on their face. And one was like a man and one was like a whiskery cat. And one was like an eagle and one was like a cow. And their legs went straight down. And they did not have toes like us. Their feet did not have toes. And that was the way she described the living creatures, but they made lots of noise and they scared her very badly.
And this is described in Ezekiel.
Exactly.
And is there any way she could have known this?
Not at all.
At 4.5. I mean, that's quite a description. And then about a week later, after this tremendous miracle, she should have been dead. In fact, I read in your book, she should have been dead a number of times. But after this tremendous miracle, tell me about going to the family member's grave site.
Yes, we went to put flowers on my mother's grave. And we were there in the cemetery, and she sat down by an old tree. And then she would get up and go look at this little grave, and then she would go sit back down. And then she came over and got her mother, and she said, I've got to find a little boy's grave. Now, up to this point, we had not really taken what happened to her very seriously, except that it was a miracle that she wasn't killed. And we thought she just saw angels and God, and that was it. We didn't know the depth of what she learned. But she said, I've got to find this little boy's grave. And Sandy said, why? And she said that he was, I met him in heaven, and he wanted me to find his father. And so she walked all over the cemetery and could not find it. And Sandy said, well, let's go and come back another day. And she said, no, the tent will be gone. And she said, what tent? And she looked, and there some of the things had where there was a recent grave was on those canopies.
Right.
And so they went, now they had something to look for, and they searched all around, and they saw one past Granny's grave, up past it, and they drove back around. It was a huge cemetery, drove back around, and she walked up to that canopy and turned her back to it and looked out over the cemetery as though getting her bearings, as though she had seen this, like, from some distance away. And then she walked straight back to that little grave by the oak tree, and she said, what does that say? And the mother said, honey, it's the name of a little boy. His name is Michael, and he was killed a year ago. And she squatted down and took the two cars and tried to show us. There were two little cars on the grave, and she tried to show us then what happened. And we said, no, let's go, let's go. So we got in the car and left, and she went with us on a trip. And the second day on the road, her mother called, Sandy called, and said, that her brother, Bubba, had gone out and gotten a name off of the grave. And she said, ask her what color the car was that Michael died in. And because she told us he died in an automobile accident. And she said it was red. And her mother said, man, I'm getting goosebumps because he did die in a red car. And she said, ask her how it happened. And she told us that the car was forced off the road by a big monster truck with lump tires. And it's not in the book, but she actually told us what was painted on the side of the car, of the truck. It was like she described everything that was on the truck. And so the truck forced the car off the highway. It hit a cement culvert and another car turned upside down and hit a tree. She called it a cement thing. She didn't know what culvert means, but it hit a car and a cement thing, and then it turned upside down and landed against a tree. And it actually, the newspaper accounts were exactly as she said, except they did not know why it left the road. They didn't know about the lump tires or the monster truck. And we can't really give that description because if this case were open, she would be at risk.
I'm reading from page 23 of your book, and this is from the newspaper account, and I'm quoting. It says, the old red car, get that red, the old red car flashed by, heading in the opposite direction. The officer figured it was the same car he had stopped before and wheeled around to check it again. But the car dashed north and disappeared. The officer didn't give chase. A short while later, for reasons still unknown, the car drifted off the road, it hit a concrete culvert, went airborne, struck a parked vehicle, overturned, hit a tree, and finally came to rest on the roof. And you're saying that she actually knew how the accident occurred. The police didn't know, according to this report.
That's right. That's right. They didn't know. And we've been pretty vague about we had to take out the towns and the roads and everything because we didn't...
In the book.
Yeah.
And... in one of the newspaper accounts, it mentions something about his parents had a custody battle over Michael. Explain that and explain what he told her in heaven.
When her mother said, why do you have to find the father? And she said, because there is another one. Well, we didn't know what she meant. But when we found these newspaper accounts and started reading them, they were in a custody battle. And there's a little girl a year older than him. And that's what he meant. There's another one. And he wanted us to try to find the father, which we never were able to do. But he wanted the father to keep the little girl because it was in his mother's care and the person she was living with that was intoxicated and on drugs is the reason why he was killed. And he didn't want to put his sister at that risk.
And I mean, I find this fascinating. In that same chapter 4, Michael told your granddaughter when she was in heaven that he had been mean to some kids at school. Tell me about that.
Well, he didn't have to tell her. When she would be in their presence, Jesus would somehow let her see and be involved in the accident. She was actually there, and this is another one of those things where they like TV, they come out and are real. She was actually there. She heard him saying, God, forgive me. And she knew why he was, she was actually there, could see the accident, and knew that he was praying for forgiveness because he had been mean to kids at school. Every one of the deaths of all these children, she was there when they died, and she saw it happen.
So you're saying when he was, just before he died, he was asking for forgiveness?
Yes, he was.
My goodness.
Even though he was a little boy, he knew he needed forgiveness. And I'm not saying he wouldn't have gone to heaven, but his own heart turned to God at the last moment.
Now, she's had visitations from two very, very famous angels, Gabriel and Michael. Tell me about that.
Yes. Her mother asked her if the angels ever talked to her because she'd only been telling us about what they do and not what they say. And she said sometimes. And so she said that sometimes that two of them came to her and they were really, really loud. This one was really loud and said, they said to me, Jesus is looking at you and also God. Well, this was part of the time when she was going through the fear of God school. I mean, he really was putting her through it to fear him and not the demons. And that whole story will be explained in the book. But she said that he had, one was a golden angel. He have shiny white robe and a golden belt, and his face shines, and his eyes are like fire. And they told her about the beginning, and he told her about Adam and Eve, and he told her to most carefully. He told her a lot about the old people, to take care of them and be kind to them. And we said, why is that important? She said, because they get sick and they die. And they have to turn to Jesus because they don't have anybody else. And at the end, they have to turn to Jesus. And so the golden angel was teaching her about the beginning of time. The other one was Mikey. She called him Mikey. He was sort of like an angel man, and he was handsome. And he was like a warrior angel because he had armor and stuff. And she said he was on a big horse. And she liked these two angels, but they scared her because they were so loud and so big. And I said, do you mean Michael? She says, no, Mikey. I said, well, how do you know their names are Gabriel and Mikey? She said, because God told me they were.
Do you think this is the same angel Michael that we read about in the Bible?
I do, yes.
I do, too, and I can see a 4.5-year-old calling him Mikey.
I've even tried to describe him before.
Majo, when people read the book that have loved ones that have died, does it bring comfort to them?
Yes, it does. If their relatives that died knew Jesus, they will be so happy to read about the descriptions of heaven and how wonderful it is and how happy they are.
Your granddaughter had a visitation also to hell.
Yes, she did.
It's so amazing the terminology that she uses when she describes, what does she call demons?
Enemies.
Enemies.
Yeah. Yep, she called them enemies. When she went down to the bad place but what she actually said was that she wished that Lucifer had stayed in heaven and not been thrown down, because she saw him thrown down, because she was able to go back to the beginning of time with.
I'll tell you what, this is the most fascinating book you're ever going to read, short of the Bible, because it's insight from a 4.5-year-old about these spiritual things. For a donation of $18, get today the book, Six Big, Big, Big Angels. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.